Today we want to share with you surviving the temporary you. Surviving the temporary you. Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Andrew said, "Peter, we have found the Messiah." So Peter followed Andrew, and the Bible says that when Peter and Andrew approached Jesus, Jesus looked at Peter and said, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas." Cephas meaning rock. "You are Simon, son of John." Now, Jesus had never met Peter before, as far as we know. And yet, he changed his name. "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Rock." So, that's how Peter's first experience with Jesus went. But now, I want us to look at the Gospels, and I want you to meet the two T-W-O Peters. The two Peters. Let's look at the real Peter first. Peter was a devoted lover of Jesus. Listen to these words in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 17. It shows Peter's true love and appreciation for Jesus Christ.
"But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven."
The real Peter said, "Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are truly the Messiah." It was a confession of faith. So that's how the real Peter felt about Jesus. In John's Gospel, the Bible says that Jesus presented to the Jews a new idea that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood if they wanted eternal life. Lots and lots of his followers did not understand this saying. Look at what happened. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 66 through 68.
"From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. 'You do not want to leave me too, do you?' Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'"
Lots of Jesus' followers turned around and left him. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to leave me also." And who spoke up for the 12? It was the rock, the solid rock, Peter. And he said, "Jesus, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of life." So you see, Peter truly loved Jesus. The real Peter was devoted to Jesus. One time, Jesus told Peter, "Go and throw a hook into the Sea of Galilee, catch the first fish, open its mouth, and you'll find money in there to pay your taxes and mine." And this commercial fisherman believed Jesus. I mean, these were totally illogical commands Jesus was giving him. And yet, Peter believed the word, opened the fish's mouth, and sure enough, there was money for taxes. So you see, we look at the Gospels and are introduced to the real Peter. But there was also a temporary Peter we see in the Gospels. The real Peter was a devoted lover of Jesus, but the temporary Peter was a confused, cowardly lover of Jesus. It's like there were two different Peters. Do you ever feel that way about yourself? That sometimes there's two of you, one part of you loving Jesus, the other part of you not wanting to follow him. One part of you wanting to live for him, and the other part failing to live for him. You see, there's a real us and a temporary us, just like there was a real Peter and a temporary Peter. Let's read about this temporary Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23.
From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you."
Jesus announced that he was going to be arrested, tortured, and crucified, and die. And immediately, Peter, the rock, became so confused. "Jesus, this can't be. I'll never let it happen to you, Jesus." You see, Peter was so confused that he was interfering with God's will for the salvation of all mankind. Because Jesus had to die for our sins, yet Peter was trying to resist the will of God. Where was the real Peter, the lover of Jesus? We were seeing the temporary Peter. Look at what happened in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse number 37. Jesus went away into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray by himself. He asked Peter, James, and John to accompany him and asked them to pray for him, to intercede for him. Look at what happened, Mark 14, verse 37.
Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour?"
Here, the big Peter, who wants to stand up for Jesus under every situation, falls asleep. He doesn't support Jesus in intercession. And Jesus finds Peter, James, and John sleeping, but he points out that Peter was the man who was really the ringleader of these three men's failure. There was a real Peter. There was a temporary Peter. And then finally, of course, we all know the story when Jesus was led away into the high priest's house for his first trial. Peter followed at a distance and three times denied that he even knew Jesus. He was so cowardly that he denied that he knew this man that he had followed for 3.5 years. He literally lied to save his own skin. Look at the real Peter now, struggling to survive the temporary Peter. So much like us. We love Jesus with all our heart, and yet there's part of us that holds back from loving Him, holds back from obeying Him. It crushes us. It kills us to think that we could fail the one who means so much to us. Look at what happened in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 62.
And he went outside and wept bitterly.
When Peter denied Jesus the third time, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And Peter was overwhelmed with remorse. He realized he had just lied 3 times and told people he did not even know Jesus. And yet the other part of Peter loved Jesus. The other part of Peter held tightly to Jesus. There was inner conflict, inner turmoil, inner storm. How could I fail Jesus so thoroughly? Well, let's look now, brother, sister, at the real Peter who survived the temporary Peter. We're going to jump forward in time now to after Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to heaven. It's the day of Pentecost, a very important Jewish religious festival. On the day of Pentecost, Peter and the 12 stood before thousands and thousands of unbelievers. Notice Peter's absolute courage. Acts 2, verse number 14.
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say."
Peter stood up courageously and said, "Let me tell you, let me explain to you what is happening." And in the sermon there in Acts 2, he plainly told him, "I know Jesus. Jesus was the Lord. He was the Christ. You crucified him. God raised him from the dead, and he is now seated at the Father's right hand." There was no fear whatsoever. the real Peter survived. So, brother, sister, let me share with you how you can survive whenever you fail yourself, whenever you fail the Lord, whenever you fail miserably. We can survive the temporary you that hurts us so badly. First of all, to survive the temporary you, you must submit to God's way of seeing you. We are very aware of our own shortcomings. We are very aware of our own failures in the Christian life. Well, God sees us through His eyes, not through our eyes. I want you to go back with me now to Jesus' first meeting of Peter. The Bible says that Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at Peter, the two Peters. Jesus saw the real Peter and the temporary Peter. And yet He loved him. And He renamed him Rock. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 25. This tells us how Jesus sees into us, into all humans. It says,
He did not need man's testimony about man, for He knew what was in a man.
Jesus knew what was in Peter. He plainly saw the real Peter and the temporary Peter. But the temporary Peter did not disqualify him from God's love. So, brother, sister, the temporary you does not disqualify you from the love of the Lord. When you fail or when you succeed in the Christian life, God loves you the same. In fact, Psalm 32:10 says, the Lord's unfading love. I love that word, unfading. The Lord's unfading love, His constant love, surrounds the man who trusts in Him. So Peter trusted in Jesus, even when he was flipping and flopping like a fish out of water. He trusted Jesus, and Jesus loved him unconditionally. No. Jesus doesn't want us living in sin. In fact, He refuses to let us live in sin. But He loves us whenever we succumb to the fearful, the worried, the weak, temporary us. Whenever we say things we shouldn't say, whenever we hurt people we don't want to hurt, God is there. And you are not disqualified from God's love. In my most recent book, Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance, I tell some very embarrassing stories about my early Christian life and how I failed the Lord. I believe God would heal my eyes, my blind spots, and the worsening vision. But whenever the state of Texas started talking about taking away my driver's license, I became so angry that God had not healed me. I became so upset that God's promises weren't coming true in my life. One day, I was sitting in my little trailer house in Clifton, Texas, so unbelievably downhearted, so totally confused about God not answering my prayer for healing. Suddenly, I took hold of my Bible. I violently threw it against the wall and I shouted, God, Your promises aren't true. That was the temporary me. The real me ran across the room, picked up that Bible, I held it closely to my chest, sobbing uncontrollably, saying, Jesus, what's wrong with me? I love You, but God, I can't understand You. Why aren't You healing me? And Jesus was right there, loving me with that unfailing love. So, brother, sister, God loves us even when the temporary us overwhelms us. Renaming Peter, renaming Simon to Peter, showed that Jesus confidently expected the real Peter to survive. Jesus looked at Peter, and said, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Rock." Even though Jesus was well aware that there were two Peters, the real Peter, the temporary Peter, but Jesus renamed him because Jesus expected the real Peter to survive. So, Mother, Sister, God believes in you. God believes that you can survive your failures. God believes that you can survive your weaknesses. And you can become like a rock. When we feel crushed by the temporary self, we submit to God's way of seeing us. It's hard to submit to God's way of seeing us whenever we see ourselves as failures, as no goods, as misfits. But that's exactly what we must do. If you can't believe that God says you are what you are, at least go to the Word and say, "God, I'm struggling to believe. I'm trying to believe." God's Word is a mirror. And when you look into His Word, you do not see yourself the way you are. You see yourself the way He views you. When you look into the Word, you see the real you. The you that God sees. Read with us how God sees you. Romans chapter 8, verse 37.
"In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us."
In everything, in all these things, our good days and our bad days, our days of weakness and our days of strength, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Jesus never changes. You and me change radically and often, but He never changes. So He's our hope, brother, sister. He's our hope that we can become everything God says we are. That's why Peter became the rock that Jesus foresaw. He became the rock that Jesus foretold. All over the Bible, there are declarations of how God sees you. One of my favorites is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save." Listen to this now. "He takes great delight in you." He doesn't delight in you when you're doing only good. He delights in you all the time. He will take great delight in you. And then the verse ends up, Zephaniah 3:17. "He will rejoice over you with singing." So, brother, sister, Jesus never thought of replacing Peter or finding a substitute for the wishy-washy failure Peter, because He was completely confident that Peter would become the rock. Brother, sister, did you know that God renamed you? Revelation says that God has given every one of us a secret name. Now, don't misunderstand that word, secret. Not that you're any better or anything superior to others. But He's given you a new name. And that name is victory. You wear a new crown. You used to wear a crown of shame. But now, you wear Jesus' crown. You share His crown of glory. So we want to see ourselves as God sees us. We will survive the temporary self. But secondly, in order to survive the temporary you, you must trust God's untiring promise to you. We must trust God's untiring promise to us. Again, referring to Jesus' first meeting of Peter, the Bible says, Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John, but you will be a rock. You will be called Cephas, or in English, you will be called Peter, which means a rock. Jesus gave him a promise. You will be called a rock. That was a promise that could not be broken, that could not be altered, because Jesus never alters what goes out of His lips. Jesus promise to change Peter. He promises to change you and me. The change began at your new birth. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus at the moment you submitted to Jesus Christ. And that ongoing work of change, of transformation began in you because God is committed to you. God and His promises never wear out. They never tire. Listen to what it says about your God and about His promises. Isaiah 40, verse 28. The first part of the verse says,
"Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary."
Listen to that. He will not grow tired. He will not grow weary. It seems like Jesus could have become very, very worn out with bearing these 12 apostles, especially Peter, the man who flipped and flopped from victory to defeat, from the good confession to the bad confession. But you see, brother, sister, God never tires. He never grows weary. That's what it says right there in Isaiah 40, 28. So when you're tired of yourself or when you think that God is tired of you, stop it. Don't allow those thoughts to dwell in your mind. He never grows tired. He never grows weary. This is the Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 27.
"The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms."
Underneath you are the everlasting, untiring arms, the unfatiguing arms of your God to hold you up. He was right there with you in your last failure, in your last disappointment in yourself. When others were disappointed in you, God was right there, supporting you, not forsaking you. This is the Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6.
"Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus."
Listen to that verse. Paul said, "I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." Brother, sister, say the same thing about yourself. God will complete what he began in you. Don't believe that the temporary you is the only you. It isn't. The temporary you is just that. It's fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. The real you will succeed. Just like the real Peter succeeded and he became the rock, preaching confidently to thousands of unbelieving Jews on the day of Pentecost. So, we want to see ourselves as God sees us. We're going to go to the Bible, God's mirror. And we want to believe what God says about us. We want to believe His promises. Cling to them with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Because God's promises are untiring and unchanging. But thirdly, we want to remember that Jesus prays for us whenever we struggle against the temporary us. Jesus is praying for us. If there's anybody in the world, in the universe, that we want praying for us, it's Jesus. And so Jesus was praying for Peter when Peter was failing. Listen to these words of Jesus to Peter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31, verse 32.
"Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers."
Peter just announced confidently, "Jesus, though everyone else forsakes you, I will never forsake you. I'll go to death with you, Jesus." Jesus saw Peter. And he foresaw the temporary Peter denying three times that he even knew Jesus. But Jesus is so loyal to you and me. He was so loyal to Peter that even though he knew Peter would deny him three times, that he prayed for Peter. Luke 22, verse 31. Satan has desired, he has asked to have all of you, but I had prayed for you. When your faith is strengthened, lift up your brothers, Peter. Again, Jesus is foretelling the success of the real Peter when he knew very well that temporary Peter was going to score another success. Brother, sister, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is not against you. The Heavenly Father is not against you. Jesus is standing there as Satan is accusing you. Jesus is defending you. Listen to these words. Romans chapter 8, verse number 34.
Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
Jesus is interceding for us. Your accuser is saying, those people aren't worthy of your help, God. Your own human nature is saying, I'm no good. I'm a washout. The world tells you, if you're a Christian, why don't you always act like it? So you have three enemies: Satan, sinful human nature, and the world accusing you. But all their accusations fall to the earth without any effect because Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, is interceding for us. You will succeed. Expect to succeed. No, don't excuse your failure, but don't run yourself down because of it either. If you sin, ask God to forgive your sin and go on with your life. You will succeed. The real Peter succeeded, so the real you will succeed. In fact, I want to share with you the victory shout of the real you. I want to give you a verse that you can use against the temporary you who wants to run you down, belittle you, and accuse you, and make you give up on your Christianity. Here's a victory shout you can use in the face of your enemies. Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Please write that down if you can. Micah 7, verse 8.
Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light.
Don't gloat over me. Don't laugh at me, O my enemy. Don't sneer at me, O my enemy. Though I have fallen, I shall arise. So tell yourself that, brother, sister. On the base of the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 8, you can say, I shall arise, although the temporary you scored a victory over me. Ultimately, the real you shall win. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we exalt you, and we confess that you are our victory in all places and in all times. Help my brothers and sisters to hang in there, Jesus, because the real them will win. In your glorious name, Lord, amen.